notorious statewide sports talk. On your radio, digital radio, the app and streaming. RSN's Breakfast with Half with Daniel Harford.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Breakfast on RSN. Great to have your company. What a weekend we had in the world of sport action. Aplenty left, right and centre. And our job for the next 2.5 hours is to give you as much of that info as humanly possible. We'll squeeze it all in, of course, with a heavy focus on the start of the AFL season. Round one is in the bag. Yep, in the bag. How did your team go? What did you make of it? Let us know through the morning. We want to hear from you. 1-300-652-927 or 0416-90-50-52 via the SMS machine. Lots to talk about from an AFL perspective. There's a few issues bubbling along as well. Not just the results and how and why, but some underlying themes and conversations that are being had on the back of it. So we'd love to get your take on the world of AFL footy after round one. So we'll see. We'll see what you got for us out there in RSN land this morning. We've got lots to get through this morning. Jordan Lewis is our Monday expert. He's going to be joining us from 7:30 this morning for a full hour of AFL chat. Looking forward to catching up with him. There's a bit to discuss with Jordan, clearly, but happy to discuss things with you along the way. Jake Kelly is part of the Bombers outfit that absolutely mauled the Hawks yesterday at the MCG. Got their year off to a great start under new coach Brad Scott. He's going to be a part of the conversation as well. We'll catch up with Matt Kosh, F1 writer at speedcafe.com, who we spoke to a couple of weeks ago in the build-up to the season, and the Saudi Arabia Grand Prix happening just early hours of this morning. We'll have a chat to Matty about that. There's a bit going on there too, just by the way. Matty Stewart, speaking of great maths, is going to give us the lowdown on the weekend of racing as well. And what about the autumn of awesomeness from the Hayes camp? Blue Diamond and now the All-Star Mile with Mr. Brightside on Saturday at the Valley. Great work by JD and Slabs and the team up there at Lindsay Park at Euroa. Fantastic performance. The slipper win up there for Chris Waller in Sydney as well. A bit of luck of the Irish with Ryan Moore getting in the saddle there for Coolmore. And, of course, other Group 1 action up there in Sydney as well. Maria Mia getting the job done in the Galaxy as part of the racing weekend. But Matty will be all over that with us through the morning. We'll keep you updated with all the latest news in sport. With the Super Netball weekend kicked off, the NRL continued, the Mighty Melbourne Storm had another loss. Things are a bit grim there at the Mighty Melbourne Storm just at the moment. But as we've talked about all the way through in the last couple of weeks, if you haven't got your best players out there week in, week out, at this level of sport, it does make it very, very difficult to get involved. So we'll take your calls. Give us a buzz. The open line is always open. 1-300-652-927. You know the SMS number, 0416-90-50-52. Tweet us at Breakfast with Half or RSN927 as well, and get yourself on the line. And, of course, everyone that calls and gets through is in the running for $500 worth of sporting goods for your local sporting team. You get to nominate who that is. And by Friday, or on Friday, we will draw out the winner. So get on, have your say, and win $500 worth of sporting goods for your local sporting team. That's a good way to go about it, I reckon. So let's get to it. Let's find out what's been happening in the world of sport. I want to get to the owl very shortly, but Johnny's on the road. Let's get to Johnny, who would have had a good weekend. The Bombers are up and about. Good morning, Johnny.
Yeah, it was a good win, mate. Yeah, quite proud of the boys. I hate to say it, but Collingwood look damn awesome, don't they? Collingwood, Geelong, they play for the man, don't they? They play for the side. They just, I reckon they'll win the flag if they don't have many injuries. Collingwood, and standing the football, I tell you what, it's fast, isn't it? It's really fast, isn't it?
Yeah.
Handball with handball there.
Well, it's an interesting conversation, Johnny. We were having that before in the pre-match meeting here, the pre-show, about the stand of the footy. It's certainly, it's dynamic. It's certainly taking the game on a lot of teams, which is great. We want a bit of speed in the game. That's good for footy. But the quality between the best player, the teams, and the also-rans is a big gap. It's a fair chasm from what we've seen, just albeit round one and small sample size, all that sort of stuff. But it does look to be different gravy of the good teams playing the good teams and the also-rans playing the also-rans, doesn't it?
Yeah. Whoever fumbled that little bit or they're not on the song, mate, bang, they're gone. So Look, I actually quite enjoyed watching the footy on the weekend. It was good.
Well, the numbers are through the roof.
Thanks, mate.
Good on you, buddy. Nice to have you with us. You're in the running. The numbers are through the roof. And I think I read correctly last night, if I'm not mistaken, that the weekend's games, it's the AFL recorded the highest, third highest attendance in history in a round of football yesterday or this weekend. 8,000 short of the all-time record. And that's a pretty good performance. So people are happy to see the game back. 2017, round one was the highest all-time. 400,000 people went through the gates. And 2018, round three. And it was 393. On the weekend, there were 392,000 people going through the gates for the games. And the third highest round attendance in history for the games on the weekend. So people were ready for the footy. No doubt about that, Johnny. Just like you. And we're pretty keen to see it all unfold. Because it was Thursday and Friday and Saturday had their own slots and Sunday as well. If you wanted to get your real footy feast, you could do that on the weekend and get involved and watch as many games as humanly possible. So that's good for business. The ratings were through the roof as well. So I reckon Channel 7 and Foxtel will be pretty happy about that. And the AFL will be pretty keen to sell those figures early in the week as well. Build up to round two, which has got some unbelievable matchups as well, considering what we saw on the weekend. Let's get to the hour and find out what's been happening in the world of sport. I want to find out what he's got for us today because there's been plenty happening. Al, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Daniel. I do have plenty before I do. Grand final champions on the weekend?
No, no good.
No?
Beaten by the reigning champs who went back-to-back. They were very good. We didn't get the job done with the Willow. We bowled all right. We bowled all right. And someone off the SMS says, where is this? Half, did you get a good one? Or try to move one onto Belmore Road. It was in the slot. And then it swung away late and it caught the outside edge and it caught it mid-off. Very disappointing. Very disappointing.
Double figures?
Yeah, 14. 14. I was going all right too. Disappointing. Very disappointing I was. So we weren't good enough and Trinity got the job done. Back-to-back champs and deservedly so. I reckon they're the best. Probably the best team in it. We had a chance and we bowled well. We bowled well. But we didn't bat well. So that's why we sit here on a Monday morning lamenting our opportunity lost.
Well, Arsenal are certainly not lamenting. They have moved 8 points clear atop the Premier League table thanks to a routine home victory against managerless Crystal Palace. So 4-1 to the Gunners. Bukayo Saka with a brace in that victory. So they are flying, the Gunners, getting closer to that elusive Premier League trophy.
They are flying, absolutely.
Staying with football, this time FA Cup action. Manchester United came from a goal down to beat nine-man Fulham and reached the FA Cup semis with a 3-1 victory at Old Trafford. So they're the two big headlines in the world of football. F1, Sergio Perez held off teammate Max Verstappen to take a Red Bull 1-2 in the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. Fernando Alonso crossed in third, but he was later handed a 10-second time penalty by stewards and demoted to fourth, which George Russell promoted to third. Now, I don't know enough about it, but Matt Koch will fill us in with all the details in about 10 minutes from now.
He'll sort that out for us. All right, it's a bit of a setback from our man Fernando. But how often do you think we'll say that through the F1 season this year, Al? Red Bull 1-2.
Ad nauseum.
Yeah, I've got a feeling you might be right. Max Verstappen, I'll save it for Matty. I'll save it for Matty.
Oscar Piastri 15th, by the way. So that's his first finish. He didn't finish in...
No, he didn't finish the first one.
Yep.
Still not in the points, but had an impact incident in the first lap, was it? First lap, which set his race all asunder at the start there for Oscar. No good for him. Although he did qualify, so he did a good job in qualifying.
Yeah.
So that's a positive step for him through his second Grand Prix performance. But incident in the first lap was no good. He did beat Lando home, though. So it does suggest that the McLarens are garbage anyway.
Yes, correct. Mitchell Starc snared 5 for 53 and Mitch Marsh bludgeoned an unbeaten 66 off just 36 balls as Australia levelled the ODI series at 1-1 with a crushing 10-wicket victory over India. The series deciding game 3 is on Wednesday in Chennai.
Now, I want to talk about this for a second because I think Mitchell Starc is the whipping boy of Australian cricket. Has been for many, many years. And white ball v red ball conversation is probably relevant a little bit at times. But his one day and white ball performances are officially off the charts. Now, with his performance there, with 5 for 53 or whatever it was, he became... so he's the equal third most 5-wicket hauls in one-day international history. she's got nine Fifers. Only Murali and Waka Yunus, the great Waka Yunus, have more than him. Murali's got 10, and Waka's got 13. So Mitchell Stark's got 9 with Shahid Afridi and Brett Lee, so they've got 9 apiece. So Waka did 13 in 262 one days. Murali took 10 in 350 one days. And if you go to the ones that took 9 like Mitch Stark, Brett Lee took 9 in 221 games and Shahid Afridi 398 games. Mitch Stark has done it in 109. So less than half the games that it took Brett Lee to do it, almost 4 times less than Shahid Afridi, 3 times less than Shahid Afridi took to take his. And if he wants to get to 10 and match Murali, he's got 241 games to do it.
I like the chances.
I like his chances. And Wisdom were tweeting about an hour ago, with a 100-wicket cutoff, Mitchell Stark is the only bowler in one-day international history to take more than 2 wickets a game. That they are phenomenal numbers.
Good numbers, aren't they?
For Mitch Stark. His white ball action is out of this world, officially. And that's statistically impossible to argue with that. So well done to Mitch Stark. And good to see Mitch Marsh dominate top of the order as well. So Mitch off.
I know we've got Buttsy there waiting, so I'll just whip through these final dot points. A Stumps Day 3-second test in Wellington. Sri Lanka 2 for 113 in its second dig, still 303 runs in arrears, having been asked to follow on. They are in a world of hurt there in Wellington, the Sri Lankans. This is a good story. England's Matthew Baldwin claimed his first DP World Tour title at the 200th attempt as he won the SDC Championship in South Africa by 7 strokes. So not only did he win, he absolutely
I was wondering where you were going to go there. Yes. That's a great performance, isn't it? That's the story of persistence and resilience.
Absolutely. 200 like those stories.
Well done.
LIV Golf, the Tucson event in Arizona. Charles Howell III is leading by 2 strokes. He's in a rich vein of form. Is Charles Howell III. He leads by 2 over Louis Oosthuizen. The American is through 6 holes. And Mark Leishman, not too far off the lead as well. He's through 5. He's 3 shots behind, so we'll keep an eye on that. We've also got the Valspar Championship final round. Adam Schenk is the leader at the moment. He's through 5 in the final round. He leads by 1 over Jordan Spieth. And Tommy Fleetwood also a further shot behind. So we'll get that on and keep an eye on that. That's going to go down to the wire by the looks of things.
Tommy, it's a 3-way tie at the moment. Tommy, Adam and Jordan have locked it up at 8 under each. So that's a 3-way tie at the top. Nice.
And well done to Xavier Cooks. He came off the bench only days after helping the Kings to back-to-back championships in the NBL. 4 minutes for the Wizards in their loss to the Kings. And deep field gelding voyage bubble, a shock winner of last night's Hong Kong derby at Sha Tin.
All right. That's a good update about what's happening in the world of sport. We should give a bit of love to David Michaeluzzi as well, who took out the New South Wales Open across the weekend. And that means he's sewn up the Order of Merit, the Australasian Order of Merit. And that means, Al, he's off to the Open Championship. So that is a great performance. A final round 65, if you don't mind, to win by 2 there at... was Rich River, wasn't it? That was where we...
Yep.
It was Rich River. So well done to David Michaeluzzi. He's had a very, very fine season of golf, summer of golf here in Australia, and gets some reward for that with an appearance at the Open Championship. So that's good business, taking out the Order of Merit. Let's get to Buttsy in Geelong, who's on the line. Good morning, Buttsy.
No, I'm not in Geelong. I'm up in Ultima.
Oh, right. Well, so someone's telling me.
About Geelong.
Oh, you want to talk about Geelong? Sorry, mate.
First of all, I don't like Geelong. I hate them. I hate them. No worries. But I went there on Friday night. Well, we went Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night to the MCG. And Friday, like, Joel Selwood did the lap of honour around the oval before the game and all that sort of stuff. And then I noticed they didn't unfurl the flag. Obviously, they're not in Geelong. And I looked up on the draw, and it's not till round 6 where they get to unfurl their flag. I thought that's a bit ordinary for their supporters. I'm not sure what the go is there. They play a home game against West Coast in Adelaide before that.
Is that right? They're the things I don't think about, Buttsy, I must admit. But that's a really interesting topic, I reckon. The grand finalists won't unfurl their flag until round 6.
Well, I was hoping that they'll be 0-6 when they unfurl their flag. I was 0-5, so hopefully we'll see how it goes.
Wow. That is a good call, Buttsy. That's great insight from you. I wasn't aware of that.
I think they're waiting for the stadium to be completed, the renovations.
But that's not going to be for the whole year. Didn't we read something the last couple of weeks ago saying it wasn't going to be ready for the whole year? So that's a very interesting conversation. But we'll follow that up, Buttsy, because I'm actually a bit keen to find out what they're doing there, because it was a home game. Yes, it wasn't at Cadinia Park, GMHBA Stadium, but it's a home game for their faithful. That's a very interesting conversation, I reckon. I would think, without going too deep into the data books just yet, because I've just thought about it, that that would be the longest stint ever for a Premier to unfurl their flag. Six games in, or five after five games into a season. Well, follow that up, Butsy. You're in the running for $500 worth of sporting goods for your local sporting club. So well done for you for getting involved. You can join the action, 1300 652 927 anytime through the morning. Do our best to get you out there on the wireless. 0416 90 50 52 off the SMS. Half on the weekend, went to Portland to watch my son playing a cricket GF. They lost the B-grade final to the Portland Colts. Bloke in that team won his 25th senior premiership. I'm interested if anyone could top that record, asked Phil in Newtown. Tony Hollis is his name. 25 senior cricket premierships. Get him on, Craig. Get him on. It's your job out the back. That's a bloody good effort. 25 senior flags. Magnificent work. In while we miss chances, you can almost hear time slipping away. What do we do, Steve-O?
We close our eyes. We never lose again. Imagination never lets us take the blame.
Yeah, that's one of the great combos. 24-7 on a Monday morning. Great to have your company wherever you are listening. And we do close our eyes when we go to sleep. And then we open them again to come into work and discuss the world of sport like we're doing today. Mark Stevens is the best in the business when it comes to Australian rules football news. And he's our man on the ground sniffing news like no other. Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, Half. This is Go West, of course.
It is, of course.
This is one of the great Dean Lester's favourite bands.
Yes, he was a Go Westman, no doubt. Absolutely. I really like this song.
Oh, it's great. Uplifting, isn't it?
In 1985, this was one of the hits for Go West. The other one was Call Me.
Great song, Call Me.
Yeah,
too.
Call Me, not a bad tune. Of course, they came back later on with The King of Wishful Thinking, which was a global smash. Yeah. As well, the Go West boys. Richard Drummey is a part of the duo. He's one half of the duo. The UK singers having a birthday today, our man Rich Dog. How old is Richard from Go West today, please, Stephen?
62.
You are in the window. 64 today for Richard. Happy birthday to Richard. Holly Hunter's having a birthday today, US actress. Academy Award winner for The Piano back in 1993, Hole. She's 65 today. Happy birthday to you. Kathy Ireland. Remember Kathy Ireland? She was a US supermodel of the 80s and 90s. I do. Funnily enough, as a young teenager. She's 60 today, Stephen. Kathy Ireland, happy birthday to Kathy.
It's sad when supermodels get old. It's a real reality check.
I'm not so sure about that. I think it's still pretty good gravy. Phil Judd's having a birthday today too. Member of?
Split Ends.
Yes, very good, Stephen. Very good. He's 70 today.
Kiwi.
Phil, he's a Kiwi. And the great Ian Moss is also having a birthday today.
The telegraph booth. Oh, no.
Who?
Telephone booth. Telephone on the booth, highway.
Yeah. That's right. What was your first one? Telegram booth?
Yeah, I got mixed up there.
That's an unusual booth to have, a telegram booth.
Tucker's daughter.
Former member of Cold Chisel, of course. Yeah. Ian Moss, Tucker's daughter, yes, spot on. He's having a birthday today as well, and he's 68. But they pale into insignificance when it comes to the most important birthday today, and that is my young man, William, who's 16 today. Happy birthday, Wilbur.
On you, Will.
He won't be awake. He might be. He might be. He won't be listening, of course, because he thinks he's too cool for radio. But
so he's a Will? My son's just Will, not William, but he's a Will.
Well, he's officially William,
yep.
But he's Will or Wilbur.
Yep,
around our parts. Unless he's in trouble, of course, and then he's William.
He wasn't at the G stealing footies yesterday, was he? That was funny vision. Did you see that?
I didn't. So I heard about it. I didn't see it.
The funny thing is, I know the kid who did it. 16-year-old boy. I'll protect his identity.
Sure. Hilarious. You've got to call Crime Stoppers.
Yeah, I saw a photo last night of him coming home with a footy, a Richmond local. So do we bemoan that half? Kids running away with footies every now and then. I think it's
good for
it's
business.
Good for business. Would it be too far to say that any footy that goes into the crowd's keepable?
Expense. Well, at $100 a pop, 120 or 30 these days, the TW, I reckon that might cost clubs a fair bit in the end game. But few footies now and then, kids getting a bit of a lick of the ice cream, so to speak, and being a part of it, I think it's okay, seriously. If that's the biggest issue we've got, then we're okay, Stephen. Yeah. We're okay. Some feedback coming through for you off the SMS. Does Steve-O listen to this while sitting in his caravan? He wouldn't be in a caravan, our man, Stephen.
No.
Worst ever sing-along time by you blokes? Horrible. Love that stuff. And what else have we got? There's another one. Steve-O on Friday morning said that Fremantle were a certainty across the weekend. Does he still stand by that, is the question of the SMS.
I was in a couple of minds, to be honest. I thought the Saints would be very, very competitive.
Yeah.
But I watched Freo. You look for P words, pathetic, pungent.
Why'd it have to be P words?
Well, purple. It's purple, aren't
we? Oh, gee,
putrid.
We got there late.
Yeah, putrid, that's what I thought. So, gee, what were they doing? I mean, they won all the key indicators, you know, contested ball, intercept marking, records, had more of the footy, more inside 50s, and still really didn't look like they wanted to win. They were slow, turgid footy.
Turgid, there you go. Yeah. Well done, you've used another really good word today. Good
disappointing.
Stuff
like, you'd be flat heading back over the west. And that Fife, I know it's only round one, but boy, that was the worst game that Fifey's ever played.
Are you throwing the baby out with the bathwater there?
No, we'll wait and see. But gee,
What stage of the game did your four goals in to Mark Hunter start to come back and just come up your throat a little bit, just to vomit
out
your mouth?
In the second. Well, the Dogs were up by about 10 points. Should have been four goals up about 20 minutes into the second quarter, then they let five go through. So they've got a habit of quick goals against half, not defending the ground properly. So they goals out the back and quick rebounds, kick in goals, which is not ideal when you're trying to win a flag.
It's not ideal at all, Stephen. Are you off the wagon?
No, we'll wait and see. I think they put the Saints away this week. Surely they can't be as bad as Freo. So
I want to know the news that you've got for us, Stephen, and there's only one team around town that wants to help us out when we bring you the latest sporting news.
You can't restrain Steve-O. Mark Stevens Football Update for Load Restraint Systems. Make sure your load safe with Australia's total range of cargo restraint products. Loadrestraint.com.au.
Dino's been in Bali golfing with his crew there from
shirt
the Hart Hotel.
Shirt off, I see, too. He's very happy
with
himself.
There's no need for the shirt to be off from me.
No, I've seen photos with the shirt off.
Oh, so I know. But
I assume he wasn't nude, but I only saw the top bit, and that was enough.
The Load Restraint Systems team helping us out with Steve-O's latest footy news. What do you got, Stephen?
Well, I think it's all about head-high knocks today, Half. And yep. Kasiah Pickett, I know you were strong in this in the pre-game meeting when we were in here about 5 a.m. doing our prep. Kasiah Pickett, looking at it, is 2 weeks enough? I believe not. They used a hidden clause, if you like, the potential to cause injury or serious injury when working this out. So it's only two games. He misses against Brisbane and Sydney. They graded it's high impact. Basically, there's a little asterisk there that Chris Oaken used. Well, we think that was a really bad act, so we'll upgrade it to high. What I'm suggesting, Half, is this should have been handed to the tribunal. The act is that dangerous that Chris O said, hang on. We're not even going to grade this. We'll leave it to higher powers to come up with a penalty. Because I think if you look at the penalty boxes, the threshold's too low for some of these offences. That's the most Chris O could really do is two matches.
Yep. He was hamstrung through the system, and that was the only outcome we're ever going to get if it was a box ticking exercise. I must admit, I do tend to agree with you that should have gone straight to the tribunal. The same with the McAdam one. They were... Those two incidents, and I can't believe we saw them in one round, and certainly in different days. The McAdam one, after seeing the Pickett one on Friday, Saturday night, him doing that yesterday, I'm flabbergasted by that, I must admit. They were two of the worst things I've seen in footy. They were horrendous. Like the act of launching off the deck as a human missile, shoulder and head first, into an opponent who's got rid of the ball in the Bailey Smith case... Or front on in the weird case at the GWS Giants, they were the two of the worst things I've ever seen in my time at footy. I was staggered that both those events happened on the weekend, particularly after the conversations we've been having about head high hits and concussion and all that sort of stuff. For players to put themselves in that position to want to still do that to an opposition player to an opponent in this era of football with what's going on is dead set mind-blowing. I'll get your calls on that. 1-300-652-927. I was staggered by that. But I reckon you're right. They should go... That should have gone to the tribunal, Pickett, and McAdam should as well, but it won't on the back of the Pickett outcome.
Well, the penalties are too low just with the formula. I think it's never been kinder in some ways. We're a fines-based system, and 2 weeks seems a lot these days the way it works out. So it was graded as careless as well. Could you say that's deliberate? I mean, he's launched himself. How is that?
Well, the reason why is because bumping is still a legal part of the game. You're allowed to do it. Now, you have to pull it off correctly, and that's, it's got to be within play and all that sort of stuff. So that's where the problem is for the incidents like this, where it's a legal part of the game, so it's not intentional. You're not intentionally out there to perform an illegal act. Yeah, you've just got it wrong.
Well, I reckon Gil McLaughlin will be flat today, be shaking his head, thinking, well, almost do we appeal this one? He did it with the Toby Green, of course, the AFL, when that was insufficient.
But I don't know if they've got grounds. They won't have grounds, yeah. I don't think, to appeal it. That's the outcome on this one.
But McAdam, he sort of lined up. Did he get the shoulder, though, and more thrust the head back of where?
Well, quite possibly, but he jumped off the ground, launched in. This is old school Byron Pickett stuff, which was dead set dangerous. And I remember Brendan Crummell getting hit by Byron Pickett.
I do too, at Waverley.
And it never was the same. It was, went past the ball, launched off the ground, and flushed.
He didn't even
it.
Get rubbed out for that.
No, I don't think he did.
No, it was fair. I think it was a similar one to the Kaczynski, when Gia clipped Kaczynski out on the wing, you know, it was to the shoulder, but it flipped his head back and probably got him a bit high as well. And at that time, that was okay. So that changed everything.
I don't remember that one. I sort of remember the incident, but not the actual
Kaczynski got
visual
concussion. So it's, look, you'd think that McAdam would get the 3 weeks, but who would know?
Why would he get three and not two?
Well, it's probably the same.
That's what I'm saying. So,
yeah.
So because he got two, so I think McAdam gets two on the back.
That has to be careless as well.
And Buddy's lucky. Buddy's lucky too.
Well, Buddy's action. I mean, Buddy's action as well.
Stepped offline.
If you want to use the potential to cause serious injury clause, it could have been used here as well. So he's only got the one. So big MRO talking points, no doubt about that, Harv.
Yeah, and it's not the right talking points. Considering the conversations we're having, I'm really disappointed in the actions of those two. In Fennigan, it was not cool.
And a line in the sand, too, in the St Kilda Frio game about umpire dissent. Harv.
I'm okay with this.
Yeah, I like it. I thought at the time you can't. I've sort of been sick of players sort of pointing at the scoreboard and remonstrating, say, have a look at that, because it's demeaning to the umpire, isn't it? You're in front of 50,000 people. You're pointing at the board. Have a look at yourself there. You've got that wrong. So yesterday, let's take a listen to how it unfolded down here. Wilkie gave away a 50 for the Saints.
You can't look at the screen and then have a go at me. That's considered umpire dissent, okay?
I'm okay with that. I'm more than okay with that. Be really strong on this early in the season to set the standard. Players like Jordan Lewis wouldn't have got away with that. He'd be out there remonstrating, abusing umpires, and I would like to see him be given 100-metre penalties.
I think it was Grant Thomas last night said that you should be able to look at the screen and the umpire sees he's wrong to change his mind. So, hang on, I might just call a ball up. After looking at the screen, I think that's a bit extreme.
No, it's not going to happen.
So it's demeaning for the umpire, isn't it? The Saints had a bit of a brain explosion, but at least we now know, Harv, where the line
is. Yeah, and that's good. That's what you need to do. Set the standard early, and then if you need to, you can relax it a little bit. Once the players get their head around it, then you can start to massage it a little bit. But set the standard early, and let's get on with the game.
Just some injury news. Cherry's out for at least 8 with that ankle. So Todd Goldstein, all the stink about that. He's straight in after 1 week, which can often happen, can't it?
Yep.
So it's a handy player to have back up at North.
I would.
Liam Jones, no structural damage, similar to the Jure one a couple of weeks ago. So he'd be very sore today with that neck, but still some sort of chance to get up if he gets a bit of a rub or two over the coming week. Yeah, a bit of a rub in that with some cream. And
some cream.
Well, they always put you some cream. Tom Stewart, 3 to 4. Tommy Stewart, 3 to 4 weeks with that knee. That's a good result considering the slippage that happened there. Jeez, Ed Sheeran's got a lot to answer.
I disagree with this. That ground was not the reason Tom Stewart hurt his knee. It's because
Chris
Scott that. His left foot was the brace foot in that moment, and it was on the 45-degree angle, so he had no studs in the ground. It was on the side of the boot, and he slipped, and therefore his right knee had to stabilise and came underneath him. It's got nothing to do with the surface, that incident. There was a lot of slipping from the other games that were played on the weekend, but Tom Stewart's injury had nothing to do with the MCG surface.
And just to clarify, half on that unfurling of the flag at Geelong, It's basically a best laid plan scenario. They're waiting for the grandstand to be finished.
Yep.
So they thought, well, about round seven, we should be ready to rock and roll. Well, it's not going to be ready at all. So effectively, they've delayed that for no reason, which is a bit of a shame, isn't it?
It is a bit
of a long time to wait.
My word of this. Bernard Dinklin Iris. Stephen, he wants to talk to you about the water footy. Good day, Bernard.
Good on you, boys. How are you?
Going well, buddy. How are you?
Hey, listen, I want to talk about the Jeremy Howe and Tyson Stengel incident on Friday night.
Yes.
I keep on hearing these people talk about you've got to protect the head. Well, Jeremy Howe ran from 40 yards away and made an unrealistic attempt to mark the ball. He just ran there to clean up Stengel. He could have knocked Stengel in the next week. It was lucky he never got bloody concussed. Why wasn't he reported?
Bernard, it's a topic of conversation across the weekend. You raise a good point. Mark Robinson's written about it in the Herald Sun this morning. I disagree with the sentiment, I must admit. I think he's more entitled to go and attack that footy, Jeremy Howe. He'd make a legitimate marking attempt in my eyes. He was just dropped the ball. Would have been a spectacular mark. Had he taken it, we would have been having posters of it across kids' bedrooms all across the nation. So I disagree with the sentiment, but I want to talk to Jordan Lewis about this after 7:30, Bernard, because it is a conversation. Robbo's with you. Robbo is absolutely with you.
You know what it reminds me of? I was at Marvel Stadium one day where Harbrow flew in the air and cleaned up Jordan Lewis.
Oh, similar. Why would you bring that up? He's out the back.
I know. I remember him coming on. Gee, he was wobbly.
He's giving you
but
the
it's a similar things. Incident.
All right. More news with you through the morning, Stephen. Thank you for that. Thank you, Bernard. You're in the running. $500 worth of sporting goods for your local sporting club. Before we get to the break, the apprentice is in here with the poll. Apprentice, what do you got for us this morning? Good morning.
Good morning, Daniel. Yeah, it's Kasai Pickett has been handed a 2-match ban for his bump on Bailey Smith. Is this ban too much, too little, or spot on? RSN Breakfast and RSN 927 on Twitter.
All right, Goldilocks and Three Bears sort of stuff today. Too hot, too cold, or just right for Kasai Pickett there from his performance on Saturday night for the D's against Bailey Smith of the Dogs. That's the poll.
Until 8:30, Daniel Harford and RSN's Breakfast with Harf.
That is correct. On a Monday morning, we want to hear from you after the first weekend of footy action. 1-300-652-927 is the number to call. We've got Jake Kelly to join us from the Bombers. And if you stop the competition now, the Bombers are premiers. On top of the ladder, the Bombers up and about after round one. The fans are singing from the rafters, and so they should after a great performance yesterday at the MCG. So we'll hear from Jake after 8 o'clock. More Steve-O as well before we hand over to Michael Felgate on Racing Pulse after a huge weekend of racing as well. So that's what's coming your way on RSN 927, though. Time for our Monday guru, Jordan Lewis, to join us, which is very, very exciting. He's in the studio, ready to roll again. Came in for a little cameo earlier, but he's back officially now. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning. Essendon top North Melbourne play finals, if that's the case.
If that's the case, is that right?
Nice first year from Alistair Clarkson.
Yes. He's got the job done there at the Kangas.
How are you, mate?
Going well. Although I would have liked to have a medal remnick today, Jordan, like you.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to bring it up. Steve-O brought up the shot, which he showed me before, and very loose.
Wow. It was in the slot early. It swung late, Jordan. I was a bit very disappointed.
And another thing, it's called Breakfast with Half. Where's my breakfast?
Well, we have breakfast with Half after breakfast.
Okay.
So from 8:30, we have breakfast.
All right, done.
You have it with Half. That's how it works around these parts.
A little croissant.
A little croissant. Well, Steve-O goes the little ham and cheese singer.
Yep.
It's unusual. And he goes a Coke. He goes a can of Coke.
Oh, yuck.
I don't know what he's doing at breakfast having a can of Coke. Anyway, he's, I don't know, it's morphed into from a magic, little coffee magic, into a Coke.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works. Hey, round one. What'd you make of just as a summary of the round, the footy, the vibe? What's your take on round one?
I loved it personally. I thought there were surprises and teams we thought that were no chance, and it was a round of survival. Got up and won. I thought there was great coaching performances. I thought there were individuals that really stood up. And the thing to cap it off, and the thing that we should never forget is the crowds. You know, I was lucky enough to be at Thursday night's game, and you get to the MCG early and there's no one there, and you picture the silence, and then once everyone comes and the atmosphere that game had was electric. So I think the AFL have come out and said that it was the third most
round one attended.
Ever, you're right. And only, I think, 7,000 or 8,000 short of the record. So for me, it was just great to be back watching football again, being able to go to the games. And I thought the games in total, were really good. I mean, there was eight sides that scored over seven out of the nine sides, seven out of the nine games. There was a side that kicked over 100 points. So scoring's back. And I think, yes, we typically see that in the early parts of the season, but I think there is more of an emphasis on offense. I really do. And the sides that don't embrace that seem to be sticking out like a sore thumb. And there was a few games on the weekend that you sit there and watch and you just say to yourself that they've spent all the off-season rehearsing and preparing for round one. And yes, it's only round one, but really, is that the way that they're going to move the ball? They'll fall further behind if that's the case.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's a good assessment, I reckon, of round one. We'll take your calls on that. 1-300-652-927 or 0416-90-50-52. I want to get your podium. We're going to do this every Monday, the podium of the best stuff or the worst stuff, whatever you like. The best stuff or the worst stuff on the podium. What are your 3-2-1s on the podium? Your gold, silver, and bronze this week after round one.
Which,
let's go with bronze first.
Have you got it in front of you?
Yes, I do have it in front of me. Now, you were there yesterday at Marvel Stadium.
Yeah. So for me, I look at it and I did the game yesterday, St Kilda Fremantle, and you can only look at the players that are put out on the field, and then you also look at the players that are missing either through injury, suspension, whatever it may be, and then you assess the opposition. So you assess Fremantle, and after their season last year, the players they had in the side, the inclusions that they got over the preseason, you go, this has to be a Fremantle win. They were a good side on the road. I think they'll equal most last year in terms of the wins on the road. So they travel really well. And then what we saw yesterday was probably the reason why St Kilda engaged the services of Ross Lyon. They were depleted from injury. But you could tell within the first 5 minutes what this side was going to give was effort. And they made mistakes. They made a heap of mistakes throughout the game. But what I love to watch is the effort around the ball, the effort to spread, the effort and the application to actually restrict an opposition side playing the way that they wanted to play. So I thought tactically Ross Lyon was brilliant. I thought the way that he would have wound these players up in round one with the players they had out, I thought once again was a masterclass. So for me, he was probably the coach of the round with the performance that they had yesterday against Fremantle.
Roscoe, welcome back. And let's have a listen to Ross the Boss after the Saints' victory over Fremantle yesterday at Marvel Stadium.
Yeah, 150th year. It's always, David Parkin used to talk about, it's really important to win your first one, to get some belief and some confidence. And we know it gets hard from here. We're already looking at the Bulldogs. We know they sit in a, you know, aspirationally real strong top four team. So, yeah, it doesn't get any easier. But we got together, we sang the song and we celebrated. And we'll start preparing really from tonight as coaches probably, review the game and move on.
And moving on very quickly, it Ross the Boss there.
Doesn't stop, does it? You don't get a day or a day and a half just to bask in the glory of a win, especially when we think this St Kilda side, you know, they might not have too many wins this year, but you'd like to think they have more than an hour or 2 hours after the game to enjoy the win.
When you're playing Sunday and you've got to play next Saturday, it's action stations. Yeah,
six-day break,
all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Ross, the Boss, is on the podium. And your winners and losers from the weekend as well, 1-300-652-927. You mentioned the crowds as part of the podium conversation before. It was great to see so many people back. They were just ready. And I reckon there's an element of short pre-season in terms of available access to games and talent and TV action, all that sort of stuff. I think that's good for crowds. I think that's good to build up the energy towards the AFL home and away season, that everyone just wants to get involved and be amongst it.
Yeah, and being at a few of the games and speaking to the supporters as they were walking in, that was certainly the feeling at the ground. Yeah. But then what I also liked is on a few occasions, players were interviewed throughout the weekend and they referenced the crowd, whether it be from an energy point of view throughout the game or post-game, and saying how good it was to have these crowds back. So I think they still understand that they had a period where there were no crowds and how important that plays in our game. So, yeah, I think a big tick because, you know, what we can do is we can sit at home in our chair and watch the footy on TV and it's great coverage, all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
But to still go to the game, and I was lucky enough to be in America recently, there is no better game live, I think, in the world than ours, and the crowd the crowds make that. They make that atmosphere just such an electric vibe.
And we should never forget that. I'm 100% with you on this, and it doesn't get talked about enough. Because the coverage is so good, and it's so easy to be on the couch and just watching, depending on what the weather's doing and all that sort of stuff, there is nothing better than being in a game.
Yep.
It's just the best sport to be there live. I'm 100% with you on that. And we'll get to the top item on the podium this morning very shortly. But Jim's in Kilsyth, been waiting very patiently for us. Good morning, Jim.
Morning, mate. How are you?
Good, thanks, pal. How you doing?
Not bad, not bad. Just want some clarification on a couple of rules, mate, that I no longer understand. I used to play the game, but I watched the Carlton-Richmond game.
Yep.
On Thursday. Now, I think it was Shea Bolton. It was outside the boundary line. The umpire called him to play on. Now, he's taken four steps outside the boundary line and kicked the ball back into play. Now, surely that's a throw-in. As soon as that umpire calls play on and he's behind the boundary line, that should automatically be a throw-in, I would have thought.
I'm with you. That's what the rule would say.
And the second one is this taking the ball out of the ruck. Like when we were kids, if you took the ball out of the ruck and someone tackled you, that was holding the ball immediately. Now it seems to be play on.
Yep, they have altered that rule of recent years. Back in the old days, Jim, in fact, it wasn't that many years ago, probably about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
If you took the ball out of the ruck, got tackled, it was deemed your prior and you were pinged. Whereas now they want to give you an opportunity, once you've got it and been tackled, to still get rid of the ball.
No, fair enough. Yeah, I just sit there now wondering. I find it hard to follow the game now with all the rule changes, that's all. But that one out of bounds, I thought that would be an immediate throw-in, but he took four steps and then brought the ball back into play and it was play on. So, yeah.
Sometimes they get away with those ones because they want to keep the ball in action, I suppose, more often than not. Oh, it's a couple of steps, so let's just let him go. They get away with that one a bit more than they should, I reckon. I'm with you on that one, Jim. Nice work from you. $500 voucher. No, $500 worth of sporting goods.
Good.
Is capable of going to Jim's local sporting team that he nominates. Yep. As a part of that. We'll draw that on Friday.
The only way that I could think of that one is if maybe he didn't leave or go off the line once he's called play on, and if he stays on the line and then continue. I know he's out of bounds, but if he stays on the line and continues to kick the ball, if he then diverts off the line, maybe it's a boundary throw. The one thing that I find interesting, when you watch a game of football, when there's an out of bounds on the full, so the player that's taking the kick, unbeknownst to the player, he steps inside the boundary line, but then the player on the mark doesn't necessarily know that it's play on and he can come in.
Yep.
Do you know the one that I'm talking about?
Yep.
Or the player that's with the ball as soon as they step inside the boundary line doesn't realise that he's played on.
Yes.
And I see that nearly every weekend. I'm like, why wouldn't the player on the mark just charge?
Just straight at him, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, until the umpire calls play on, you can't though these days.
But as soon as he steps inside the boundary line, it's play on.
If it's called.
Well, it should be called.
Well, that's the point.
There's four of them.
Don't you start. Now, I want to get to the number one item on the podium, the news item on the podium this week. It's the bumps. We've seen some amazing things, and for all the wrong reasons in the last couple of days, with the picket incident with Smith and then McAdam on Weir yesterday. Extraordinary things. You were talking on Fox Footy during the week about the impact of that Harbrow hit on you, and Steve brought it up before, so I can go back there. The impact it had on you, and we're talking about concussions and all that sort of stuff, and head safety in AFL footy. What did you think when you saw those two incidents on the weekend?
I thought they were in trouble. Yeah. I've been thinking this for a while. I just don't understand players that elect to bump a player that has the ball. Rather than tackle. I just think you leave yourself open to all sorts of ramifications. And thank God that, Bailey Smith got up.
Oh.
Because the look of it, you just can't get your head around. It looked awful. And when they slowed it down, you go, oh, thank God he didn't get him in the head. Because the potential you speak about, potential to cause serious injury, that is... That's trouble. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad the AFL, and some people will argue that it should have been more, but I'm glad that the MRO have handed down the ban, especially to Cozzy. But even then, and I can't remember the player from Adelaide, but to come out and say that the picket one was worse than the Adelaide one, players have just got to understand that you can't bump. It is a game where there can still be physicality, but you've got to do it in the right way. You've got to look after each other. In those two instances, they had enough time to prepare a tackle.
Yep.
They practice tackling all the time at training. They never practice bumping. So you're in these positions all the time. So why they still see the need to bump or go to a bump rather than a tackle, I just think it's one of those things that as a player, you leave yourself open to all sorts of ramifications.
We talked to before, you said just there about looking after each other as players. Now, we understand it's competitive sport and it's physical and there's high stakes and all that sort of stuff. But to do what those two players in particular did, now the Bud one's another incident itself, but those two human missiles is what they created themselves to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is totally unacceptable.
Yeah. I agree. And, you know, you would see from the players that came in and remonstrated that they would have the same opinion. And I just think that the players now are put in these positions all the time throughout training. So it was a conscious decision by both of these players to elect a bump. They had enough time to make that decision, and they need to be dealt with accordingly.
Yeah, and launched off the ground, old school. It was just horrendous. The two really poor acts. And we'll be hearing more about it, no doubt, because it's the topic of the day in the world of footy after round one by a mile.
588 days since we last saw him on the big stage. Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody playing footy. He nails it.
Big shout out to my mum. She believed me all the way. And, you know, I made a bet to my mum. I said, if you're going to give me back and play again, I'll buy you a caravan. So, I got a caravan for my mum. And, thanks for all the support. And my family and friends have been really great. So, yeah.
I wish I had a supporter then. That would have, I could use a caravan. Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody after the game yesterday. The Bombers way too good for the Hawks by 59 points. It was good to see him back, Tipper, in a specialist role as the sub yesterday. Jake Kelly was riding shotgun with him as the Bombers dominated the Hawks. He joined us on the line this morning. Top of the ladder, the Bombers. Good morning, Jake.
Thanks for having me, Half. Appreciate it.
Mate, a pleasure to have you on the program. That was a nice way to open the account yesterday, wasn't it?
It was, mate. It was very special. To have near 70,000 there, it was very loud, and when Tipper came on, it was pretty amazing. Very, very grateful that all the Essendon fans came out in such big numbers, and it was an amazing atmosphere, and, yeah, a good way to start the campaign.
Could he be, and we're putting the cart before the horse a fair bit here, but could he be the perfect super sub for the Bombers to come on and impact games for the season?
Absolutely. I said that to someone after the game. I said he's a great player to inject into the game, late in the third quarter, or whenever teams will decide to do it, because he's a very special talent. They might play him the entirety of the game, but yeah, I think on a lot of occasions, injecting him sort of into that third quarter, he can provide a lot of momentum. And he's a very special talent, and above all else, he's a great guy. Very modest and humble, and like you heard in that interview, yeah, he's got good value. So yeah, I'm very happy for him.
Jake, just one last one on Tipper. What's it been like for him over the preseason? So you spend a fair bit of time out of football, you go back and you get your life back in order. So for him to come back to the club and accept that he's back in professional football, it must have been a huge task for him.
Yeah, no, it's been an amazing effort. And Scotty's touched on it during the week, just how an amazing effort it is to have that long out of the game and to then come back and to actually, one, complete a pre-season, then to make it for round one. It's an incredible effort. And you should definitely be applauded for it.
How has the club been, mate? You've been there for a few years now, and there's been a lot of change off the field and some change on the field as well. How have you found it adapting to the new coach and the new environment that is the Essendon Football Club?
Yeah, mate, it's been good. I mean, look, at the end of the day, it comes down to whether you're winning games of football or you're not. The environment is in a large part dictated to by wins and losses, given the industry you're in. So when you're winning, it's great. And when you're losing, it isn't so great. But, yeah, trying to have that consistency of culture is really important. Scotty's been fantastic. I can't speak more highly of him. And just how he articulates himself and his message and how clear and concise he is when he speaks. I haven't heard many people like it. So he's been super impressive, as has all the assistant coaches. So, mate, it's a great spot to be, and it's better after yesterday. But it's one win, and it can all change. very, very quickly in this industry.
Yes, it can. And week to week, Jake, as we all know. So we'll keep an eye on that, no doubt. But is that sort of what we want to see from Essendon, or what we will see from Essendon through the season? For fans listening, as outside perhaps that first quarter, which was a bit shaky, is that what we will expect to see from the Bombers in 2023?
Absolutely. That was a very, very accurate blueprint of what we want to present week to week. And, yeah, if we can produce that week to week, it's gonna give us a great shot at winning. We may not always win like yesterday, and we may not always be able to play that brand of football consistently over four quarters, but that is a blueprint of our season and how we want to present ourselves.
What did you like about it, watching it all unfold?
Oh, for me personally as a defender, just seeing the pressure and the ability to the chase pressure particularly, that's something we've focused on all pre-season. So if we don't have chase pressure as defenders, we get caught in no man's land of do we press up to an opponent who's running into space, or do we hold on our opponent, direct opponent? So to have that chase pressure and that intensity to chase gives us as defenders a really good opportunity to impact our direct opponent and win contests.
Jake, I'm not too, sure how much football you watch, but did you watch the Collingwood and Geelong game, and did you see the Jeremy Howe incident? And you speak about a defender, so quite a lot of the time you do have players running back into your space, and you've got to make decisions. One, did you see that? And two, are you conscious of, looking after the player that's coming back into, or what is your thought process if you were put into that situation?
No, I didn't watch any of the footy at all. But mate, from my perspective, I think there's a real duty of care. I don't know if that's because of my history with concussion. I've had a few. But in my opinion, I just think it's really careless. Not saying the Jeremy Howe incident particularly was careless at all, but just in general, when you can corral a player or you can choose to tackle a player, to me, the decision to bump a player, whether it be head high or just below the head, yeah, I think that's careless in my opinion, and I think it lacks the duty of care to a person, and just someone who's had a fair few concussions. It really does worry me, and especially given the last few weeks with everyone coming out and the lawsuits that are coming out, I think players do have a duty of care, and I think it's really important that they understand that. And I understand it's a game, and I like to think I play that game in a competitive spirit, but mate, there has to be a duty of care, because it's really worrying what's happening, I feel, with these concussions around the world.
So, Jake, let's flesh that out a bit then, because that's a really interesting point. That, I mean, the AFLPA, I mean, you guys have a fair bit to say about what happens on the field and the way you carry yourselves out there and how you look after your cohort. Would you expect the conversation to be had from the PA, or a message from the PA to come out and say, hey, fellas, what's going on? What we've seen a couple of times on the weekend, we can't be doing this. Let's get better at this.
No, that's a hard one. I mean, I am the first to put my hand up and understand that this is a very competitive game, and when you go onto that field, you are competing, and you're competing for your club. I just feel, for me personally, I just would be careful choosing to bump someone when you can tackle and or corral. It just doesn't make sense to me that you would choose to bump. One, for the fact that you'll get rubbed out and miss games, and two, for the fact that the person on the other end of it, for me personally, mate, it's difficult, because it does give you a bit of trauma. For someone who has been hit and knocked out cold, it gives you like trauma, and it's not a nice feeling, especially for your family watching as well. It's not nice, and given what's happened in the last sort of 2 weeks with all these lawsuits and people globally coming out against concussion and saying they've been affected long term, I just think that we as players should be mindful of it.
So, Jake, as a player, are you happy with 2 weeks for the Cozzy Pickett bump?
I haven't even seen the bump. I don't. Yeah. I don't. I can't speak to that, given I haven't watched any of the vision.
Fair enough. That's an interesting conversation. Touch on it a little bit later on with Steve as well. Jake, so you get a win, you got the Gold Coast coming up this week, but Big Peter Wright's out for possibly the first half of the season. We'll see what the extent of it is. But after such a big year last year, and he's flying, they tell me, through the track in the pre-season, how big a blow is that for you guys going forward?
Yeah, mate, it's enormous. In saying that, we've got guys down there and Sam Wiedemann and others who really played particularly great roles yesterday and can definitely hold up their end of the bargain. But yeah, Peter, regardless, is a massive loss, and yeah, he'll be sorely missed. But it'll be give good opportunity to other guys to step up.
Now, some of those guys that have come in from other teams did a pretty good job yesterday. Setterfield from the Blues did a good job. I thought he was terrific, and Sam Wiedemann as well, as you mentioned, kicked a couple of snags. And the more they play with you guys, the better they'll be. That was a positive start, I reckon, for those two.
Yeah, no, it was great, and on top of all that, they're just quality people as well. So getting those two people into your club who are great guys, they've got good values, they work hard, that's even more important than their ability to play great football each week.
Well, it's a great start for the Bombers. Brad Scott's tenure at the Bombers has started in the perfect fashion with a win over the old foe there, the Hawks, and the Gold Coast. This challenge this week at Marvel Stadium on Sunday at 3:20, mate. Great to chat as always. Look after yourself.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Jake Kelly from the Bombers with us.